I hope you enjoyed that. Listen, that's what the future of our country is right there. God moves on kids' lives and changes them. And boy, I wish I could let you feel what they felt, what I feel when I'm there. I get to run the sound booth every service, 41 services, and sit at the master's hand, if you will. I can only tell you, God moves in a powerful way there. He can move here in a powerful way. I'm telling you, I think the difference is prayer, and that's why 6 o'clock I'm going to be here. Because the power of God comes from His presence. It's not anything else. His word releases us, but the power of His presence is what it's really about. I want you to turn with me to Luke 12, 32 through 40. It'll be a sermonette, but it's still going to be the word of God proclaimed for us. How will you be found is what I've entitled it. Luke 12, 32 through 40. And it reads like this from the New King James Version. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may be open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants when the master, when he comes, will be watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Verse 40. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, thank You again for who You are. We're grateful that You give us the Word of God to help us. The Scripture says, if you know the truth shall set you free. And as you become free, you want to serve. And so, Lord, thank You for this time that You've given us this Word for Your people. Bless it now as it goes forth, and Lord, we know it will not return void. So use it for Your glory. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Amen. This is Old Red Letter Edition. Jesus is speaking. We're talking about selling everything you have, and we've heard that before, and we think about all of our money. We can't give everything away, otherwise how are we going to exist? Well, that's true. But the issue is not just money. It is our life and spiritual well-being. So our part is in almost a piggyback of last week, you know, where do we find our wealth? Where do we find our wealth? Our wealth is found in what we invest in our lives. In our lives, it's not just about our money that we buy a piece of property. Well, that's a good investment. And in real estate, I think it's, maybe you can help me, Toby. What is the slogan with real estate? Well, that's very good. But I think it's location, location, location. Okay? It's all about location. Because if you have a poor location, I don't care if you're the best restaurant, if you have a poor location, you tend not to do well. But real estate, it's all about location, location, location. Well, our wealth is about, are we investing in Jesus? Are we investing in the Word of God? Are we learning more? And I really want to bring this back out from yet last week. Is that, you know, as we, are we different this Sunday than last Sunday? Hear me. Are we different this Sunday from last Sunday? And if you say no, then we're failing. I'm failing as a spiritual leader. Because I'm trying to challenge you. Just read the Word of God. In your bulletin, I said, let's continue in August with the book of John. We've read the book of Mark. And we've read the book of Luke. And so I want you to read through the Bible. Why? Why? Because the Word of God transforms you. It's nothing else. Nothing else will transform you. You know, just like when we got married. Oh, I changed my wife, or she could change me. Not to say that she wanted to, and not to say that I wanted to. Just to say, that's in our minds. Well, I can change them. No, you can't. You have not the power to change people. The power of the Holy Spirit is what changes people. Where does that come from? And I'm telling you, this week, God's just put it on my heart. It's around these altars. It's when we humble ourselves and bow our knee to the great I Am and say, I want to be in your presence. I want to learn from you. I want to do what you ask me to do. And that is total surrender. Now, is everybody there? I'll say probably not. I'll say probably not. And the reason why is because we're so caught up in church and or life. Okay, where is your treasure? Let me tell you what a wise man told me. Let me see your checkbook. You just go home and look at your checkbook and see where you spend your money. Where you invest your money, where you put your money, there's your treasure. Are you putting it all in 401ks thinking that, hey, that's my future, that's my future. I'm going to be wealthy because I'm pumping it all into 401k. I'm going to say you're wrong. I'm going to say that our way of life is that it's a discipline. The more I read of these spiritual giants in the church and of our faith, it was about discipline. It's about getting up, doing the things God has ordered us to do. If we're not doing them, then how can we expect to be like Him? You can't expect to be like Jesus if you're not reading the Word of God. I promise you, you're not going to somehow just get this glimpse and say, oh, I'm supposed to be like this. Where does it come from? Well, God says that He will call to remembrance all the things He taught you. Well, if you don't give Him any time to teach you, then how can He call to remembrance anything? If you don't spend any time in His presence in prayer, then how can He call to remembrance or even speak to you? Because really, you have the volume turned off. If you're not spending time with Jesus, it's almost like having a radio, the best radio in the world, and you turn it off. I don't need to listen to that radio. It's no good to me. I know better. And we tend to do that. And all I'm saying is we need to turn up the volume and spend time with Jesus and let God speak to us. If you look back to where our wealth is, in the same scripture that says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I want to also bring out a couple of these things of what's next. It says, let your waist be girded with the lamps burning. Now this refers to a historical setting and the different watches of time. Have you ever been involved in a prayer vigil, 24-hour prayer vigil? Over at the camp, on the night before, which is Wednesday night, the night before missionaries Thursday, they have a prayer vigil. And every hour, somebody takes and spends through the 24-hour period until the next day in prayer. Now, the Jewish people, the Israel people that we're talking about in this time and section of history, is that they would pray through the night. So it started, and there was only three watches. The Roman Catholics brought in the fourth, but three were the Jewish tradition. And the three was from 6 to 10. It was four-hour intervals. 6 to 10, 10 to 2, and 2 to 6. That was the half a day, if you will, the 12 hours. That was the watch They had different people to watch. Well, what are they watching for? Well, if you look at it, in those times, the cities were walled, and they would have a watchman on the wall watching what was going on, coming in and out. You've heard that scripture where it talks about it's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, Justin told me the other day, that's his favorite scripture. It's very difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's like, do you all know what it's like? A camel going through the eye of a needle. Now, us Westerners, what do you think the eye of a needle is? Man, you think of a sewing needle, don't you? And you're going, man, I'm so challenged with my vision. I can't put no thread through the eye of that needle. I have to get my spectacles on to look to make sure I get it through. That's not the eye of the needle. The eye of the needle is the big door that they have, those wooden doors that opened up. They had a small door that camel had to get down on all fours and sort of crawl like that through that eye of the needle. They called that the eye of the needle. So for a camel to get through there, it was very difficult. It was not easy. It took a lot of training and tugging and pushing and everything for that camel to be able to go through that doorway after hours, if you will, with that watchman time. So when we look at this, it's very interesting how there was a watchman. There's always somebody watching and waiting for what? The enemy to come to the town and to raid or steal or begin a battle. That's what they would do in the guise of darkness. They would come and attack. See, that's not what it's about as far as in our lives today. We don't think about, oh, we're in this spiritual battle, and oh, at night, you know, they're going to come and get us. Well, it doesn't matter nowadays, does it? Did you see in the news just the other day, 82-year-old lady held by gunpoint in the middle of the day, getting out of her car? She turns around and there's a gun pointed right at her. Now this is over by Troy, over towards Gotha. But can you imagine some of you ladies getting out of your car and turn around and there's somebody with a gun? That's today. That was this week. That was this week in our society. And we think, oh, we're in Linden and it won't happen here. Listen, it doesn't matter where we are in the world today. You're no longer, quote, safe. We think we have a safe haven. You better think again. You think your government's going to protect you or the police are going to protect you? Well, we hope that's going to happen. But listen, there's no bounds anymore. People are getting way out of bounds. There's no respect for life. There's no respect for religion. There's no respect for any one another. And therefore, I want to say today that we need to realize that our wealth, where it is, that's our heart, our treasure is also. But we need to be ready for the time when Jesus is going to come back. And years ago, there was a big urgency. It was almost like Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And when the apostles, after Jesus ascended into heaven, the book of Acts, if you read the book of Acts, just start reading the book of Acts. There was this sense of urgency. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. There was this sense of urgency that he's coming back for the church. But I think we've lost that urgency. We've lost that feeling that God wants us to perform for him. He wants us to be him incarnate. And you say, well, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. You know what? It's not you that is righteous. It's the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the blood of the Lamb is what cleanses you and makes you righteous, because your righteousness is as of filthy rags. And all I can say is, the more you spend the time with Jesus, the more you spend time in prayer, the more you spend time in the Word of God, the more that your heart turns from self-centered to the cross. And when we start turning toward the cross, we want to serve him. We want to do for him. We want to give to him. We want to do for his church. We want to serve the church. We want to be like him. And if you're not doing that, then there's something missing in this equation. And I'm telling you, you can look off, you can look down, you can look up. I'm telling you, Jesus sees you. You're not hiding from him, and he knows what you do. If you're not reading the word, if you're not spending time in prayer, if you're not surrendering to him, then guess what? You're doing your own thing. And I can only say this. This church isn't going to change until you change. It's not going to change until you change. And you say, well, I'm okay. How come everybody in the church history, if you read any of the church fathers, they continued to learn? They never stopped learning. They always knew that there was more that God expected of them. And I want to say and challenge you today. You better be ready. Because if you look at the news, if you look at the world events, it's not good. And it doesn't matter if Jesus himself returns, the trump sounds, he comes back for his church. That could be one option. The other option is somebody could come through the door and wipe us all out. Look at Orlando. That's just something current. That happened to be a bar. It could be a church. They could come into a church and they could set a bomb off right here and eliminate all of us. Not to say it's going to happen. God forbid it happen. But it's potentially possible. And so what I'm saying is we personally have to be ready. We personally have to be ready for what is taking place in our society. Our society is changing at a rapid rate. And I can tell you this. I've talked to many people, pastors, friends, our district superintendent, and it's almost like this. The church is being separated. Even the church. The church, the United Methodist Church, is being, you can see them separating. There's people before the General Conference, 16 people stood up and said, I'm a professing, active, lesbian, or gay pastor. 16 before General Conference. Then the Northwest or the Southwest jurisdiction ordained a female lesbian with her wife on the stage as a bishop in our church. That is heresy. It is heresy to our church and what we stand for. And do you know what? It's taking time, but the church has to stand up for what it stands for. And do you know what? I'm challenging us as human beings, as godly people, we have to stand up for truth and what's right. You got to call black, black, and white, white. It's yay, yay, or nay, nay. You either want to serve him or you don't want to serve him. And the problem, I think, in the church is we just got so comfortable. I'm okay. I'm okay. What proves that? How could you defend your faith right now? If I came and I've got that microphone and I said, tell me how you know that you're going to heaven. Can you answer that question? Think about it. If I came and put the microphone for everybody to hear, not that I want to do that, but it does say, be ready to give an account for what you believe. It does say that. And so, if someone comes up to you and says, how do you know you're going to heaven? Can you tell them that? Can you tell them why you're going to heaven? I hope you can. We need to be ready. And I pray that you will.